Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, ISKCON Founder Acharya Abhay Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. The Lord then said to His attendants, Jaya and Vijaya, depart this place, but fear not. All glories unto you. Though I am capable of nullifying the Brahmana's curse, I would not do so. On the contrary, it has my approval. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As explained in connection with text 26, all the incidents that took place had the approval of the Lord. Ordinarily, there is no possibility that the four sages could be so angry with the doorkeepers. Nor could the Supreme Lord neglect His two doorkeepers. Nor can anyone come back from Vaikuntha after once taking birth there. All these incidents, therefore, were designed by the Lord Himself for the sake of His pastimes in the material world. Thus, He plainly says that it was done with His approval. Otherwise, it would have been impossible for inhabitants of Vaikuntha to come back to this material world simply because of a brahminical curse. The Lord especially blessed the so-called culprits. All glories unto you. A devotee once accepted by the Lord can never fall down. That is the conclusion of this incident. Om Agyanatimirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Milita Mena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapita Mena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinamandu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Vipasindu Vevacha Patitana Pavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 is practically chasing them out of the spiritual world. He tells them, depart this place, just get lost, go away. But fear not. And then he says, all glories unto you. It's very contradictory statements within one sentence. Get lost and then all glories unto you. Then, in the next sentence, he says, although I am capable of nullifying the Brahmana's curse, I would not do so. On the contrary, it has my approval. can be a very complex verse to speak about, because it touches the subject of why we're here in this world. Even in the purport, Prabhupada says that a devotee once accepted by the Lord can never fall down. And we all know we were in the spiritual world, so then what are we doing here? So what does this mean? It means that either we were sent by Krishna down, or like some devotees were proposing some years ago, that there is jivas that exist in Brahman and they are falling into this world from Brahman. They never actually lived in the spiritual world, and that's why we are here in this world. So a lot of there were a lot of devotees thinking like that after Prabhupada's departure. However, Prabhupada put things very simply. He simply said that we misused our free will, and that's why we're here. In other words, we have to take responsibility for falling or being in this world of birth and death. Otherwise, it can be a faulty doctrine that Krishna created this Brahma Jyoti souls like that, and they just fall into this world. And basically, he created things imperfectly, you know. So Prabhupada said, no, we are all residents of the spiritual world. That's why we have the magazine Back Home, Back to Godhead. I'm sure you've read some of the copies. You've been long enough in ISKCON. So, back home, Prabhupada indicates clearly that we are all residents of the spiritual world. We are spiritual beings that have a human experience. So, somehow or other, we have fallen into this world. Like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, Ainandata Anuja Patitanam Kinkaram. How is that verse? The fifth verse of Shikshastakam. Anyone can remind me? Ainandata Anuja Patitanam Sita Dulisa Darshan Vichintaya. So somehow other Mahaprabhu is saying we have fallen into this material world of birth and death. So he's not blaming Krishna, he's saying, please Krishna, pick me up and place me as an atom at your lotus feet. So we have to meditate on the point that if we think that Krishna is responsible for our falling down, then we may blame him and we may dislike him and we may develop aversion towards Krishna. We may think Krishna is cruel, but from a theistic point of view, God cannot be cruel. Because if God is cruel, then He cannot be God. Because God means, by definition, the Supreme Being, and the Supreme Being should not have any cruelty within Himself in order to be God. So if we try to examine this, it will be very nice to examine this point. How come there should be no evil within God? What are the reasons? Why do we accept this, that there is no evil within God? So I can think of one reason that we're all parts and parcels of the source. So the source would never be inimical towards his own parts and parcels. Okay, you agree with me? Right. Then we can say that we see a tremendous amount of precision and sanity in this creation. Tremendous amount of precision and sanity, which indicates that God is not insane. Because if he was insane, maybe we could conclude that he might be hurtful towards his parts and parcels. Sometimes some crazy man may hurt his arm, you know, like that. So the precision, the complexity that we see indicates a very complex mind, but this still doesn't give us the full picture. What gives us the full picture is the avatars, because there are avatars that are coming to deliver us, that indicates that the Supreme Source, the Supreme Being is concerned. If he was not coming down, then we could have doubted, maybe God is crazy. He created us and he just left us here in this world to suffer, right? So, you see, when we approach in Shastra or spirituality or science or truth, we gotta think. You can't just accept things on the surface, you know. Because someone said so, then I have to accept it. Then you become sentimentalist. And it's better to be a devotee sentimentalist than material academic or scholar. But still, we have to go constantly deeper, so that we could become better and better devotees of Krishna. We can understand who is this Krishna. Why should I be attached to Krishna? Everyone is talking Krishna, Krishna, but do you understand who is Krishna? If someone challenges you, your God is evil, what will you say? He created this world. Children are dying from cancer sometimes. So many wars, so many animals, cows have been slaughtered daily. Someone may charge you, where is your God? So we have to understand very carefully the Siddhanta. So our point here is there is no evil in God. And we have to examine this very carefully. So, I said one indicator, philosophical conclusion can be that the source of something cannot be evil towards the emanation. In other words, the parents cannot be cruel towards their children if they are sane. If you have sane parents, they will never be cruel towards their children. They will in fact love their children, right? The second point, we stressed the precision that we see within this material universe. For example, time never stops. We see everything going on with an absolute precision. The seasons are changing and the bodies are changing. I never seen anyone by accident remain in a child and never grew up, you know, in terms of body. In mind, yes, many people remain children eternally, you know. They never mature, but the body grows. Even if it doesn't grow in size, it grows in, it gets wrinkles, and the hair goes gray, he loses power. So all these symptoms of of aging, time, the effects of time, to this precision. So if we see there is influence, control, that immediately indicates there is someone there that controls and manages this environment. Sadaputta Prabhu, in one lecture, he said that this, the law of thermodynamics is, if you see that some object is maintained, you can conclude that there is a maintainer, if you even don't see who is the maintainer. For example, if you see this recorder here, that it's got batteries, and every day you see that it's charged, the batteries are charged. Even if you don't see who is charging them, you immediately, logically will conclude there is someone who is charging them, because you know from experience batteries go flat, right? So even if you don't see who is charging them, philosophically you will conclude there is someone who is charging them. So in this world we see there is maintenance, there is water supply, there is air, there is practically all facilities for existence within this material world. And if we see this, then we know there is someone who is maintaining the world, even if we cannot see him. But still that is not fully convincing us whether the source is evil. It may be conscious, but it may not be, it may be evil. So I think the biggest argument that God is not evil is his avatars. And there are six types of avatars. So there is a Purusha avatar, Guna avatar, Manvantar, Lila avatar, Yuga avatar, and Shakti Avesha avatar. Avatar means one who descends into this world from the spiritual dimension. How do we know there is a spiritual dimension? We see that in this world there is shadow and substance. For example, you can see the shadow of any object that is in touch with light. If there is a light, the object has a shadow. Even this microphone stand has a shadow. This cup, this table, your bodies, they have shadow. If you look around you, you will find your shadow. So shadow has no substance. You agree with me? Yes. If you try to catch your shadow or my shadow, you'll catch nothing. So this material world, if you examine it carefully, does it have substance? No. I think no. Why? Because everything you may achieve, it will be lost. It's no substance. Just like in a dream, you may dream that you are a king or a queen, and some 100,000 people are serving you, fanning you with peacock feather and throwing flowers on you, and then you wake up in the morning and you see you gotta go for Mangal Arati. So you realize that was just a shadow. It's not real. It's just a temporary flash that my mind was experiencing something. So this world is like that. It's temporary, and everything that we achieve will be taken away. So that indicates this world is a shadow world. Everything that people do in the material energy is shadow. Insubstantial. It's just like a dream. So, but the fact that there is a shadow indicates there is substance. Yes? So where is the substance? We cannot see. But we see the shadow. And we can go towards the substance. Just like if you walk in a dark street here in Melbourne at night, and then you are reaching a corner. There is a house, and then there's the street goes to the left. And then you see a shadow falling on the ground. You are coming this way and you see the shadow of some. You see a shadow, a human shadow like that, flat on the ground. Because in that street there is a light. And from that light you see a shadow. So what will you think when you see the shadow immediately? That there is? Speak louder, please. Thief or someone. There is someone. Yeah, we shouldn't be judgmental. Maybe we are a thief. And we're thinking another thief is coming to take what I am trying to take. So we know there is someone there. So we see the shadow projected because of the light. We may not see who it is, but we know someone is there. So if we want to see, we gotta have to make few steps forward, turn left, and then we'll see where is the shadow coming from. So if you really want to understand where is the world of substance, you have to do the necessary steps to examine properly and understand who is casting this shadow, where is this shadow coming from. Someone may say, how do you know that there is something like that? I mean, what you say sounds logical, but how do you know further? So I would say to a person like that, the very symptom that people have, or we have, the very desire that we have to live eternally is an indicator that there is a substance world. Remember, the shadow world is temporary, the substance world is permanent, no beginning and no end. So how do we know that there is such a world? Someone may need further encouragement. We're going to tell them that just look at yourself. Do you want to die? Who wants to die? I don't see anyone, unless you're crazy or something like that. Steve Jobs said that even those who believe in heaven don't want to go to heaven. Have you heard this before? This is some of his last words. It's amazing, he said, in this world. Even those who believe in heaven don't want to go to heaven. Everyone is holding on to this world. I don't want to go. Unless you're Paramahamsa. Of course, he never met any Paramahamsas. That's why he thinks like that. But you see, so many religious people believe in heaven. And nobody wants to depart from this world, generally. We want to stay here. The point I'm trying to make is that this indicates we want to live eternally. And that subconsciously comes from the soul. Prabhupada explained it also. The soul is eternal, so we try to force the eternal aspects of the soul on this body. We want this body to live eternally. And that's called Maya, illusion. But this tendency and desire of ours to hold on eternally to this body indicates that there is eternity. Yes? Then another way we can explain it. Eternity. How can we explain eternity? One child asked me a few days ago, who is the parent of God? Where is God coming from? Everything is coming from something. Where is God coming from? Clever child. So, my answer was, if there is zero, can you take something out of the zero? If I give you zero sweets, will you get one sweet out of the zero? No. But if I give you one sweet, you can break it into small pieces and give to so many different people, right? So the conclusion is that because nothing can come, something cannot come out of nothing. Please listen very carefully. I know the flower is Maha, but what I'm saying is Maha also. Be careful. The point I'm making again is something cannot come out of nothing. So, we don't have any experience something to come out of nothing. Therefore, the conclusion is the origin has to be something, not nothing. And that something must be eternal because there should be no time in history when there was zero and suddenly out of the zero came one, because that is completely illogical and unscientific. So the conclusion is that the beginning, the origin is something, yes, and that something is eternal, and that something is different from matter because matter has no consciousness. That's how we think. That's how we've been taught by Prabhupada. So, we see in this world there is organic and inorganic matter. Why this body is organic matter? What makes it organic? Why all matter is not inorganic? And why all not matter is organic? Why? Why is there both extremes? There is inorganic and organic. What is inorganic matter? It doesn't move. If you leave this table here without touching it, it will stay 100 years. Until it breaks down, inorganic. But all of you, when it reaches now another 10-15 minutes, you'll be up in the prasadam hall. So what makes this matter different from this? You can ask them like that, people who have doubts about spirituality and so on and so forth. What makes this matter different? They can say some chemicals, you know, combinations, by accident, this, that. You can tell them this is simply a belief because there is no demonstration how you produce consciousness from chemicals. There is no demonstration. Nobody can really show it. You may believe it, but that's a belief. And in fact, it's an illogical belief because it doesn't make sense that if you mix dead things, you will get something living, right? So, my logic is much more stronger than theirs, that life comes from life, Prabhupada was explaining. You never see life come from death. You know? So like that, we understand there is matter, we understand there is spirit. We explain to them that there is organic matter because there is another spiritual energy that activates this organic matter, that makes it move. When it mixes the entire matter with the matter, then matter begins to move. This antimatter is the substance of the spiritual world. And that is indestructible. It doesn't have beginning, it doesn't have end. And you belong to that realm. You are not this body, you are a spiritual being. You belong to that realm and now you are in a dream state. And you have come here, Prabhupada explains, because of misused free will. We cannot blame God. God cannot be evil, because my third point, he comes here as an avatar. If he was really evil, he would have said, let these guys suffer. I don't care about them. But he comes again and again. Every day of Brahma, Krishna himself comes every day of Brahma. Shri Krishna, Swayam Bhagavan. Every day of Brahma. For him, that's like, if I come every day to Melbourne temple, will you think this guy is coming too rarely? No. Right? You say, this guy is here every day. So from Brahma's point of view, Krishna is every day in this universe. Once 8,640,000,000 years. Not only that, in the day, he comes in many other varieties of forms to reclaim us. He comes as Nishinga, Varaha, Kurma, Vamana, etc. He sends so many different avatars. Lila avatars, Yuga avatars, Shakti Avesh. Within one day of Brahma, he sends thousands and thousands of them to deliver us. So that indicates that he is not careless. He is not evil. So then, why he created this world? It's a painful place. We see so many wars. People are now so much struggling. Middle East, shooting one another like anything. Killing children, women, they don't care. How can God create such a horrible place? So many diseases. One living entity is eating another. That is the question of many atheists. So the answer is that this world is basically for the living entities that have misused their free will. In other words, we can plainly say, in one sense, it's a heavy word, but it's true. If you examine it carefully, we're all like, almost like criminals. We are criminals, you know, because we wanted to take the position of God. We wanted to enjoy independently from God, and that's why we came. We became envious, matsarya. So that matsarya motivated us to come. So Krishna created this world because we wanted to forget Him. We wanted to be Him, in other words, to experience how to be an independent enjoyer. How I can do something and I can enjoy for myself. I don't want to serve the Supreme Being. I don't have to depend on my happiness on Krishna. I can make my own happiness. That means to be God. Because it doesn't depend on anyone to be happy. According to Shastra, everything emanates from Him. So He doesn't even have anyone to depend upon to be happy. Because it's only one Supreme Being. Everything else is His own emanation. There is nothing outside of Krishna. Do you understand this? So Krishna doesn't depend on anyone. And when we want to be like Him, we fall into this world. And then that envy in the heart to be like Him becomes expressed as genderism, nationalism, so many isms, ultimately resulting in conflicts, war and offenses and abuse. And this is called Maya. We think that if I defeat someone, I'll enjoy. If I push someone down, I'll enjoy. If I go up, smash someone down, I'll enjoy. That is called Maya. Because really that's how people suffer in this material world. The more you torture others, the more you have to suffer yourself. If not immediately, what you sow, so shall you reap. So Krishna created this world to cure us. It's a perfect hospital. And also, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj said it's a school of love. So you can relearn how to love. And love means first to be obedient, and then to, by that obedience, you can revive your spontaneous love for Krishna. And you can become eligible to return. Just like Prabhupada explained, in the Vedic system, boy and a girl, they are married without prior attraction between them. Right? You've heard this example. And when they begin to serve one another, there is a bond of affection that develops. Do you understand what I'm saying? Are you hearing? Are you focused? There is bond of affection between this boy and girl. And that develops because of obedience to their parents, to perform service to one another, and gradually that bond of affection is so strong that they are falling in love as a result of it. So in the same way, when we perform service to Krishna out of obedience, and when we are guided by a bona fide spiritual master, just like the boy and the girl, they are guided by bona fide parents who love one another, they become like their parents. In the same way, if your spiritual master loves Krishna, you will develop love of Krishna, just obediently following his order. And your envy will be eradicated. The objective of this world is a hospital and it's a school of love. And Krishna is not evil. So he says, fear not, he is sending Jaya and Vijaya into this world. It's particularly his arrangement to deliver the living entities and to show his compassion as one of the avatars. Later on he will come as Lila avatar, Nishingadev, and Jai Vijay and Varaha. He will have exchange with Varaha. They will have exchange, Jai Vijay, as Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu, and the Lord will deliver them and he will show the world compassion. So some of his devotees, they come in this world by his Lila Shakti, his arrangement, Yoga Maya, internal potency. They descend into this world to facilitate his pastimes. They are so surrendered that they are even ready to fight with him. They are his devotees. Prabhupada explained, no one can be a better demon than a devotee, because the devotee is completely surrendered to the Lord. Nobody can play the role of a demon better than a pure devotee of the Lord. So therefore we should not offend anyone. We should see everyone as a soul, everyone as servant of God. We should have compassion and affection for everyone, even if they behave in so-called demonic ways. We have to consider them part and parcel of Krishna's energy, and we should be a well-wisher to them. Especially now in Kali Yuga. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is Namo Mahava Danyaya Krishna Prema Predayate Krishna Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaur Krishna Maha is the most merciful avatar. He doesn't see enemies. He is giving freely love of God to everyone. And especially in Nitai, Jagai Madai, he delivered these two crooked criminals. He never saw them as criminals. He saw them as fallen jivas that are crying for love. And he gave them the mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Namo Mahavadanya, the most merciful. Mahaprabhu didn't come here to kill demons. He came here to kill their demonic mentality through his love and compassion. So if you're really a follower of Mahaprabhu, you have to develop love first for the devotees, and from loving the devotees you can learn how to love everyone, every living entity. And I guess the final point I will make is how I know that there is no evil in God is when I meet his pure devotee, because the pure devotee is completely free of evil. Then I know that his master is also free of evil. If I see the servant of someone is an embodiment of love, then I know the master is also completely free of any evil tendencies. So this world, the evil that we experience is not because Krishna wanted to torture us. It is our own misuse of free will, and we have to take responsibility. And if you take responsibility, you will get out of this world. If we blame Krishna, we will never really, really become eligible to return, because blaming Krishna means I don't want to take responsibility for my choice to come here, and therefore I don't want to go out. So Prabhupada says, one who takes, a devotee once accepted by the Lord can never fall down. That is the conclusion of the incident. In fact, Jai, Vijay, they never fell down. They just looked like they have fallen down. Jiva Goswami explains in Krishna, Krishna Sambandha, one of his books, I think it was Krishna Sambandha, he says that Jai Vijay never had material bodies when they descended down. Hiranyaksha and Hiranyakashipu had spiritual bodies actually. Yeah, it's there. Actually, it's called Krishna Sandarbha. Sorry, that is the, not Sambandha, Sandarbha, Krishna Sandarbha. In that book, Jiva Goswami says they have no material bodies. So they look fallen, but actually they were not fallen. And his argument is God cannot interact with anything else but with spirit. Just like with the gopis, they were not ordinary women. You know, they were his own internal spiritual energy. Although they looked like living entities from this world. So please try to understand Krishna, how loving he is, how free of envy, free of evil he is. The more you understand him, the more you love him. And the more you love Krishna, the more you become eligible to give Krishna to others and to get his mercy more and more, so that you can return back home, back to Godhead. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki
jai.
Ananti Koti Vaishnava Vrinda ki
jai.
Gaur Premanande. If there are comments or questions, one or two, I can take. I hope even one word made sense to you from my talk. I really hope so. Anyone?
What is consciousness? How do you define the consciousness?
Very nice question. Have you ever thought about it?
I try to understand, but again, it's not experience.
You look at the symptoms. Consciousness means free will. If something has free will, that means it's got consciousness. Another symptom is emotion. Another symptom, intuition. So, unconscious objects never have free will. Like some people say to me, how do you know this table is unconscious? And I say, oh, you're saying the table is conscious? Then okay, I will go out, you talk to the table. Why are you not talking to the table? Why are you speaking to me? So, consciousness means free will. So the table has no free will to respond. It doesn't even have the capacity. Emotion, if you kick the table, it won't cry. Or if it's pure devotee, he'll become happy if he's kicked by another devotee. He'll be in bliss. Like Pit Prabhu, he'll roll on the ground. In bliss, being chastised by a devotee. But the table will not have any emotion, it's neutral. Intuition, it doesn't feel your, it's not sensitive to your emotion. What you're thinking, what you're feeling. I can sense. And you can sense, me and other devotees. We're actually sensing people's energy constantly. But the table cannot, it just doesn't have that capacity. So these are some symptoms. Then there is gross symptoms, which is biological growth. This table will never become a table for six, for dinner, you know, dinner table or something like that. It doesn't, it's not going to grow. It will never have byproducts. So these are some symptoms that are gross, visible symptoms So consciousness means primarily free will. They're creating artificial intelligence these days, and they think they have created some really great progress in science. But artificial intelligence means simply a conscious person programmed an unconscious object. That's all. And that unconscious object is dependent upon the conscious. That's why it's called artificial. You gotta charge the robot. You have to plug him in the electricity to charge him to do its functions. Like the computer is like a robot. You have to charge him to perform its functions. After, if the battery is flat, it will not go by itself to the plug and charge itself. And even they create such robots that can charge themselves, and still we created them. And that is not real consciousness, that is just a resemblance. Because again, there is no emotion. Another short point, it can be long, but I will make it very short, is the scientists can argue that then we are also robots. If we are created, then we basically are just a robot, we don't have a free will. But this is not the point. You see that we have intelligence, and every one of us can think differently. If we were robots, we would have all behaved in the same way. But you see, every person, if I speak nicely to someone, one person may like it, the other person may not like it. If you chastise someone, one person will like it, the other person will not like it. It's not that they will all respond in the same way. We're different. So that shows that free will is there. It's related to consciousness. So in my next classes, I can touch more on this subject. Hare Krishna. Alright, time for prasanam. Srila Prabhupada ki. Graturachi mat bhagavatam ki. Ananti kori vaishnava vrinda ki. Gaur premanande.
Please come for some.